The Full Fix Breakfast with Trev and Ben, Fix Radio.
If you're not feeling very chipper this morning, not really feeling up for what the day ahead has for you.
I'm not, is it, guys?
You're not?
Just, I don't know why.
There is a reason.
There is a reason.
There is a reason. It's Blue Monday.
Oh.
Which is the most depressing day of the year.
Is there a reason to this?
Well, there's no scientific reason, but if you put everything together, like it's that sort of point in the winter where Christmas seems a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's a long way off to your next holiday. The bills are starting to come in for your Christmas stuff.
Tax return
has fallen through your letterbox.
Yeah.
You've probably broken New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, but I did that ages ago.
Your skin. So it's a very depressing Monday.
It is.
And
should we go home?
It's cold this morning, which doesn't add to it.
You freezing.
How long did it take to defrost the Breakfast Show Persia, which is back on the road, by the way?
It is about 15-20 minutes.
15-20 minutes to, yeah, defrost the, so I mean that's going to put you in a bad mood already.
It did
before you left the house. So I'm going to help you through it.
Okay, good.
There's some very helpful tips to help you through Blue Monday. I'll run some of these by you, see whether they will make you feel better. Catch up on some good news.
What good news?
I don't know.
You show me in the world where there's a jot of good news at the moment.
Oh, God. Oh, it really is.
I am in a bad mood.
Okay, all right. Number two, try a yoga session. There you go. I mean, already you might be feeling better. Downward Dog always cheers me up. Go for a run.
No, it's freezing outside.
Oh, you're not embracing any of this. I'm trying to cheer you
What's
up.
What's next? Move on.
Okay. Indulge in vegan food. I mean, if ever there was a day where you needed a bloody good bit of steak, today,
yeah,
is it.
I might have steak later on.
Yeah, you should do that. Here's a good one. And this is not very good advice for anyone who's outside on site today, so I do apologise, but this is official advice that's being offered to help you get through it. Go outside during your lunch break. Why is that going to cheer you up? A, you've already said it's cold.
Yep.
Stay in your lunch break, but just don't talk to anyone.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I'll give you one more. One more just to help you through it. Okay.
Go on.
You ready?
This better be a belter.
This is the last one on the list to help cheer you up. And if you're on site this morning, here's one. If you're just not feeling up for it, here's the thing to do it for you. Wear a floral scent.
The best of Trev and Ben on Fix Radio.
I was really cross over the weekend.
Were you?
Yeah, life isn't fair.
Well, I know Fulham lost right at the end.
I'm not even talking about that.
Oh,
I'm talking about Prince Philip.
Prince Philip, don't you have a go at Prince Philip.
Right, first and foremost, I'm glad he's okay. I wish him well.
Good.
No hard feelings there at all.
Good to know.
However, life isn't fair.
Why?
Do you know he had a replacement Range Rover just dropped off? Just drop it at the door, mate. Just
was this
it.
The one he was driving in the day after without a seatbelt?
He wasn't, was he?
Yes. Yeah, the police, they're going to speak to him or have spoken to him because he was spotted literally the day after having had that crash driving without a seatbelt.
Well, for anyone who doesn't know or who's been living under a rock, he flipped his Range Rover after being involved in an accident.
I mean,
he got a brand spanking new one, same model, dropped off at his place, and now he's not wearing a seatbelt. Is that right?
That's basically it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd sort of love to be a fly on the wall in that conversation, wouldn't you? Because as a policeman, would you relish that conversation or would you be really nervous? So I've got to go and talk to Prince Philip. I've got to give him the old lecture on you know, excuse me, Your Royal Highness, I don't believe you were wearing your seatbelt yesterday, sir.
I've had my...
I don't need to bloody wear it. Prince Philip, for goodness sake.
More than my fair share of setbacks with the Breakfast Peugeot recently.
Yeah, you have.
Do you see a new Peugeot 207 being dropped off in East Grinstead outside my house? No.
No, I mean, you'd have thought that the Fix Radio coffers would have opened up and a new Peugeot would have been delivered to your doorway.
And I've seen also the police are now saying he might have to go on a driving awareness course. I think the royals should just go on an awareness course. So that they know what the rest of the world goes through. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't drop off their own custom-made model for him.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Land Rover Freeloader.
The Full Fix Breakfast with Trev and Ben. Thanks to Festool. Tools for the toughest demand.
Now, Ben, do you ever look at your local newspaper?
Yeah.
And your local news, is it often big stories, you know, in East Grinstead? What's the kind of big news in East Grinstead at the moment?
Missing cow, I think I saw recently.
A missing cow.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I expect you've stolen that.
Well,
saving on the milk bill.
Rump steak tonight.
Well, I was looking at my local news over the weekend, and I don't very often have a look at it, but you do come up with some cracking tales in local newspapers.
I can't imagine your local news is too cheery because you basically live in a war zone.
Well, Croydon isn't, yeah, it's not the happiest place. You know, page one's normally the stabbing, page two fires, page three the riot.
That's why I left.
But here's a big story. It's a big story. A controversial toilet. Already?
I love it.
You're in a controversial toilet.
What is a controversial toilet?
Well, it's been removed. That's the upshot of the story. It wasn't there for long. It appeared on a quiet South London street, and it was a huge metal loo, and it was placed there for bus drivers. It's a road where bus drivers stop. It's at the end of their route.
Well, that sounds like a good idea.
Well, that's what I thought. It was a good idea, but residents were absolutely disgusted that this monstrosity had been put in their road. They say without any consultation, although TfL have said they did get letters to say it was going to appear there.
Right.
Now, in the good old South London way of doing things, one resident smashed the window of the toilet.
Of course, I was going to say he's on fire.
Rather than writing a letter of complaint, what are we doing, Croydon? Oh, smash the bloody thing. So TfL have now decided they're going to remove it because they don't want to upset the residents any more than they already have. So the poor old bus drivers now have to go and find somewhere else, probably people's front gardens, which I'd imagine is going to be back to where we started. And I just thought, what is wrong with people? You know, surely a toilet isn't too much of an imposition in your road.
Although, hang on a minute.
Part of their worry is the way it looked. It's a big metal loo.
One obvious question.
Yeah.
Why was there a window on a public toilet?
Well, I mean, it's frosted.
Well, then what's the point?
Well, no, it is true, but, well, maybe, I don't know. I don't know why there was a window. It's a very good question. And I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't even considered why there'd be a window.
Oh, is that a picture of it?
There's a picture of it there. So it's a big metal, like a big sort of police box almost.
It looks like the TARDIS.
But longer.
It?
Well, you say it looks like the TARDIS. That's the beauty of it, because residents have called it the TARDIS.
The Full Fix Breakfast with Trev and Ben. Fix Radio.
You know, this week that there's been a big name start another breakfast show on another radio station somewhere.
There are other breakfast shows?
I know. It's hard to believe.
What?
It's hard to believe, isn't it? But, you know, he's quite a big name. Chris Evans.
Oh, him.
Right. So he's started on another, you know, relatively small radio station somewhere. Right. I love Chris Evans. I'm a big fan, right? And I wish him well. But a mate of mine yesterday, right, you know, we're all fighting for an audience.
Yeah.
That's the way this works. You know, we sit here and we talk nonsense for a couple of hours in the hope that people will tune in and go, oh, yeah, that's all right. Keeps me going, gets me going for the day. It's a bit of a laugh.
We hope.
And we're all after a bit of the pie, right? So I'm very happy to have our little share of the pie. What I'm hoping, though, is that my mates will listen to this.
Yeah, you would hope so.
There's a little bit of nepotism, a little bit of favouritism that will go on. I got a message from my mate yesterday. He went, listen to Chris Evans this morning. Oh.
Oh, nice.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Cheers for the support. There is, though, a little compliment in this.
What, for Evans or for us?
For us. I think we should be very proud of ourselves, because if anyone ever suggests that this show isn't classy, you know, that this show is not a show that lies in the gutter, they'd be spot on, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
It's nearer Radio 4 than it is Chris Evans.
I think so, without doubt.
It's very... You are my Nick Robinson.
Thank you.
I'm your John Humphreys. Okay? And anyway, my mate said, listen to Chris Evans this morning. No mention of drywall. Female genitalia. Or screws. So I think you should be able to fend off the competition, Trev.
The best of Trev and Ben on Fix Radio.
Ben, when you go out and about somewhere, bit of sporting activity, do you have any special kit that you take with you?
I rarely do any outdoor sporting activity.
Yeah, well, you go hiking, you got hiking boots, anything like that?
Hiking?
Well, walking boots. Surely you go for a little walk every now and again. You've got some walking boots.
Basically, two pairs of shoes. One pair of trainers for basically 99% of life, and one pair of smart shoes for funerals and weddings.
I mean, I'm not far off of that, but I do have walking boots.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Mm. And I went through a phase where I attempted to go and play badminton and table tennis. I had some white trainers for that.
You had special trainers for table tennis.
Well, you have to wear the right things in the gym, don't you, so it doesn't scratch the floor and all that, so you have to buy certain shoes. And the truth is, we never actually got to play.
Oh.
We turned up a couple of times, and they hadn't got our booking in, and then they said, oh, well, we can't set up the table now because there's yoga or something going on. Oh. And we went to the pub instead. So, you know,
special shoes for that? Or?
No, I was wearing still the table tennis shoes, but oh, I worked out my arm that afternoon. I mean, those pints, they're heavy.
They are.
You know, I felt I'd gone home and had a proper workout. But there's some new shoes out for golf. Now, I suppose golf, I've never played golf. I went to a golf course once and they turned me and my mates away.
Why can't you get in anywhere?
Well, we turned up, we were quite young, and I suppose we were about, 17, 18, and my mate's dad was a member of a golf course, right? So he said, oh, we'll all go and we'll have a round. So I was like, yeah, fair enough. Just whacking a ball about. Yeah. There's no real skill involved, I felt,
I at
the
time. I think there
could be. No, well, this is what I felt at the time. I thought, well, it can't be hard. So we all turned up looking ridiculous. You know, this was sort of mid-90s. So the things we all had were probably green or purple jeans on, padded shirt, and a sort of turtleneck sweater underneath that, because that was the fashion in the day.
Right.
So we probably all turned up wearing that. And they sort of looked at us and went, well, you haven't got any golfing shoes on. What do you mean golfing shoes? I've got trainers on, mate. What do you want? Well, you've got to have special shoes. You're not wearing the right clothing for a start. You'd have to look smart and wear all...
No, you don't. Well, I've seen golfers. Yeah, they famously look ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know what golf clubs are like? They're all a bit poncying up their own arse, aren't they? And it's like, you can't wear jeans. And then they said, well, what's your handicap? And I went, well, I don't know what that means. And none of us knew what that meant. They went, you can go on the driving range, and that's about it.
Ooh.
So we went on the driving range. That's when I realised there was a little bit of skill involved,
because yeah.
I think I hit the ball about twice
right.
in the half hour we had. But some new shoes have come out for golf.
Okay.
So maybe this is what I need. I needed some, perhaps, shoes to get me into golf.
It was the shoes letting you down?
I think it was the shoes letting me down. Nike have unveiled a new version of their golf sneakers featuring a grass-like turf material to make the shoes blend in with the course.
Why is that necessary?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I can see the use of them in the army, in, like, warfare, if
right,
you need
yeah.
to be camouflaged.
So what you're saying is the camouflage isn't necessary in golf?
I struggle to see why it would be.
Well, what I would tell you is that in my limited experience of just being on the driving range is that ball seemed terrified of me and was aware of my presence. And every time I went near it, sort of went in the other direction that I intended it to go. So perhaps if I was wearing shoes that hid me a little from the ball's view, I might have been better at it.
So you think you could have done better if you could have approached your somehow nervous ball
yeah.
without it knowing you were there?
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than nervous balls.
The Full Fix Breakfast with Trev and Ben. Thanks to Festool. Tools for the toughest demand.
Sorry, I'm getting some interference, mate. Is that you?
Yeah, sorry, mate.
What the hell are you doing? I'm trying to do a thing.
It's
the Full Fix Breakfast with Trev and Ben.
It's fine, yeah, carry on. It's fine.
What?
It's just I'm a little bit stressed out.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to de-stress a little bit.
What? Now?
Yeah, just de-stressing.
Right, where did you get that from?
Well, I carry this around with me. This is my de-stresser.
It's bubble wrap.
Yeah, it's a de-stresser.
It's a de-stresser, is it?
Yeah, because...
And you have to do it into the microphone whilst I'm trying to do my thing?
Well, no, I was just feeling a little bit stressed out. I was feeling a little bit on edge, a bit nervy, and I thought, well, I just need to de-stress a minute. And, you know, the thing about de-stressing is you can't... You've got to do it as you feel it. You can't wait.
Right.
Because I could have kicked off then.
Yes.
You could have been saying what the song was, and I could have just kicked off.
Why would you have kicked off?
Well, because I'm feeling a bit stressed out.
It's a nice song.
Yeah, no, I'm not stressed out. See, you're stressing me out again. This is officially a de-stress.
Who's told you this?
Thing. Well, I mean, people of a certain age might remember Red Dwarf from The Tension Sheet, and people thought, oh, that's a comedy thing, where in that particular episode, it was marketed as a tension sheet.
Bubble wrap.
It's now officially something to end stress, because a university is offering it to undergraduates who are getting a bit stressed out about their exams. I mean, and it's helping the environment, because they had stuff delivered to the university. There was all this bubble wrap, and
yeah.
they're now offering it to students rather than just chucking it as a de-stressor. They have prescribed 3 capsules to pop every 4 to 6 hours or as needed. I mean, I've done a lot more than that just in the last few minutes, because if I just do... One, two, I'm still feeling. I'm stressed by the fact that I couldn't pop the third.
Because
that one had already popped. I hate that as well. That's stressing me out even more.
Listen, this is supposed to be a de-stressor thing. It's having the opposite effect on me. I'm trying to do my job here. It's winding me up no end.
Look, have a go. See if you can de-stress.
You've burst half of it now. Well, yeah, I can't find a bubble.
Try it again. Go on. I bet you it will chill you out a little bit because I'm feeling a little bit better now. I mean, it's stressing me out that you can't do it.
You've done it all.
Which I haven't
done
it all.
You've not left me a single bubble.
Pop a couple of bubbles.
Right, I'm going to twist it.
Yeah, go on. Just go for it. Go on. This will really...
Oh, that was quite satisfying. There might be something in this.
The Full Fix Breakfast with Trev and Ben. Fix Radio.
Still keeping a close eye on Digger John.
This is the guy in Liverpool who, lost the plot a little bit and drove his digger into a travelodge and has caused quite a bit of damage. But it's a big story for many reasons, really. One, you know, you can't condone what he's done, but there is an understanding within the industry as to why he's done it. Because this is the tip of the iceberg. This is happening every day. People are having to chase money because they're not being paid.
I think it's an important issue. Ben, you were talking about it just then, that the that mental health's a big issue in our industry.
Yeah.
And a lot of the reasons for that is because people aren't getting paid, or getting knocked, as we call it.
That's right.
As you rightly say, if one was sorted out, it would do a big step forward on the other thing.
It wouldn't go all the way to solving it, but it would be a big help, I think. Yeah.
You've hit the nail on the head. And the problem is, you know, as we've said before, this is the tip of the iceberg. This is happening to hundreds of people every day across the country, if not thousands.
Hmm.
It's gone viral because, obviously, it's a Finnish travel lodge and Digger John's gone in and pulled the thing to pieces. But there are smaller things that happen all the time. You know, I've got videos on my phone of skip drivers not being paid. So they go back and they empty the skip all over someone's drive. You get a decorator not being paid. He launches a tin of gloss all over the front door. Don't get me wrong, I don't condone this. That's not a way of sorting it out. But it is a big industry problem. If we want more people in the industry, it's not really good PR.
For me, the interesting thing is, where is the line as to... can you come back and reclaim your materials or smash something you've built, or does that then venture into criminal damage all the time? It's a very strange area.
Yeah, it is a very grey area. Technically, depending on what contract you use, JCT, FMB, minor works, you own all the materials until you're paid in full. So let's say you put a central heating system in and you don't get paid. You can take the radiators, the boiler, technically the pipework, but if you start removing the pipework and damage the floorboard... that's criminal damage.
Mm.
It's very different in Scotland. Totally separate rule up there. The law's different. It's a civil issue, so the police wouldn't be interested if you went and smashed the place up. That's civil. But, you know, here in England, it's... people do go back and claim their materials, but if you've got a real difficult customer and there is a scratch on the skirting boards, that's criminal damage.
You've said to us time and time again, Annie, that, you know, there's no real one body that looks after people in the industry when it comes to matters like this. You know, if someone's got an issue trying to chase money, you're left on your own, really. You've either got to go down the small claims court route, which, frankly, don't have the time or perhaps even the resources to follow that. With a story like this going viral, is it time for government, perhaps, to take a stand and say, well, do you know what, we need to invest in an organisation, a bit like in the travel industry, where you're at all protected, you know, and those companies are, where it's a similar case in the industry?
There needs to be some sort of body, federation, organisation as a support to small and micro businesses. If you're a one-man band paint and decorator, or you've got a team of 10, or even 100, you know, we do not have the resources. We're not great with computers. You know, we work with our hands, not our heads. And having some sort of body supporting us, it's difficult where you go with this. Government funded, yes, because you're not going to raise the money otherwise. You know, CITB are obviously the training body. You know, they've got an awful lot of money surplus, and we wouldn't need a lot of that. It's not like we need 100 million, but if there was a body set up, even a small organisation that can give you support, you know, have a framework, have procedures in place, have a website with steps so everybody can go on and have a look at it. Whereas at the moment, yes, you've got insurance, yes, you've got solicitors, but it's a bit of a higgledy-piggledy world. You know, you ask the average trade, where do you go if you're in trouble? They can't answer. I think you're right, there needs to be something done. And, you know, I spoke to the journalist at The Sun that broke the story yesterday, and when I turned around to him, he said, oh, does this happen all the time? And I said, this is the tip of the iceberg, mate. I said, you're going to have videos all over the place now. He was fascinated.
That is, I suppose, the only silver lining. We can't for a second condone what the guy did at the travel lodge, but it does at least go to highlight the fact that there is a desperate need now for something to be done about this problem.
100%. And as I said, it is the tip of the iceberg. There's going to be, you know, this is happening a lot. You know, I know people that it's happened to. I'll be brutally honest. I finished a job last Friday, went to collect the cheque because he didn't believe in online banking. He didn't want to pay for the second skip. Apparently that was my waste. So he knocked me £250. What do I do? Is it really worth me taking days off work to go to the small claims court? And I've done it once before. It's a waste of time. The chances, you know, tradesmen aren't looked by, you know, there was obviously a lot of cowboy this and cowboy that. We haven't got a great image. Chances are, if that judge, who's not legally qualified, has had a bad run-in with a plumber or a spark or a brickie, you're going to lose. It's not worth the bother. Customers know this, hence a lot of them get to the final payment or the last retention amount or that horrible word extras, not paying you.
And then that becomes the final straw in perhaps someone losing the plot a little bit.
Well, Ben, you're right. We cannot condone what he did. Yeah. He's gone in. He's obviously caught £500,000 worth of damage, including losses of opening. But what he's done was wrong. But we don't know his side of the story. I'm not supporting him by any stretch, but if he's under financial pressure, perhaps he had mental health issues because of bad debts, if bailiffs are knocking on the door, if he's gone to his bank, £600's not there, which could have put, you know, a few people at ease, paid a few debts, he might have a wife and young kids. You don't know, but let's not jump on the bandwagon. What he did was wrong, but let's, you know, it may have been the final straw for a poor lad in a bit of trouble.
The best of Trev and Ben on Fix Radio.
You've been, of course, testing teas the last couple of weeks. You've been teabagging for a couple of weeks.
Indeed.
And you've got one more week left tomorrow afternoon.
Final reveal tomorrow. Trophy, accolades, all of that. The Fix Radio's tea of choice for tradespeople across the country.
So that has led us to have a conversation over the last couple of weeks about tea on site. And Ben, of course, doesn't do tea bags.
No,
he
does. I don't.
You do a teapot.
I do.
And you've been very strong in your opinion that a teapot should be part of a builder's kit when they turn up on site. You know, they undo all the bag, take out your chop saw, workmate, take it all out, teapot.
And the amount
24-piece China service, take it all out.
The amount of stick you two gave me for suggesting a teapot on site.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you ripped me a new one, and well, now who's laughing?
Well, as Andy said, it wouldn't last a couple of minutes on site. In most places, it would be broken. But we then talked last week about a tea cosy made of glass wall insulation to see whether that would work in keeping your tea warm for longer on site than perhaps your common garden tea cosy. Not that is generally on site anyway. Have you ever seen a tea cosy on site, Andy?
Never seen a teapot.
Never seen a teapot. No. Never seen a teapot. No. How many years have you been on the tours?
Quite a few.
Yeah. Never seen a teapot, Ben.
I might go all the way down to Ben's house just to witness this.
I'm sure they laughed at Einstein. I'm sure they laughed at Columbus.
Yeah.
But I am a revolutionist when it comes. There'll be teapots all over the land now building sites.
Theory of relativity. Having tea out of teapot. I would imagine Einstein has a slightly higher amount of kudos.
Like I say, they laughed at him too.
So they did this test last week. They put the glass wall insulation tea cosy up against the normal tea cosy for 90 minutes. They kind of left it there. And do you know what? The normal tea cosy, after 90 minutes, temperature of the tea, 55 degrees. The glass wall insulation, 67.7 degrees Celsius.
There we go.
It keeps it a decent heat. So maybe, Ben, after all this time, you're onto something.
I'm a pioneer.
Glass wall insulation is generally what? It's available on most sites at all times, isn't it?
Yeah, different brands.
Yeah.
One thing they didn't say on this report was you can't touch it without gloves. You get those annoying fibres that cause all your hands to itch.
Ah.
But, I mean, it's great that it keeps it warm, but we just make a cup of tea, drink it and crack on.
Right, yeah.
I want to work at Ben's house because it sounds like the teapot's just sat there for hours and we just sort of, we're on day rate, we're laughing. Because we'll string this job out for months.
So really what we're saying is that even despite this experiment, the teapot is still out.
No.
It is not part of an on-site kit.
Don't deny me my moment.
Ben, I have a challenge.
Go on.
If you supply a teapot,
yep,
I will take it to the start of my next job and give you a daily update on how long it lasts.
How about that? How many teapots do you own?
I only own one.
Oh, and you need that on a daily basis.
Is that bone china, though?
That's right. I'll buy another one and claim it back on expenses.
One step behind.
Ben, I think I finally cracked the secret to a successful life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's been one step behind, isn't it?
These days, I don't leave the house until I make sure I am at least one step behind.
How do you do that?
It's tricky, but I manage.
Do you not trip over?
Sometimes.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. It is our game where you have to give us the answer to the current question, which is the answer to the preceding question. Here we go. Let's meet this morning's contestant. Good morning. What's your name?
Good morning.
Let's play One Step Behind.
Which popular entertainer has recently completed his second stint in rehab?
Jack Edwards.
Correct.
Doing none of the work but reaping all the rewards makes you what?
Ant McPartlin.
Correct. Which type of two-wheeled commuter believes their mode of transportation is the healthiest?
A glory hunter.
Correct.
Name a biblical plague sent down by God to inflict punishment on mankind.
Cyclists.
Correct. Jeremy Kyle has made a career settling disputes between who?
Locusts.
Correct.
UK supermarkets permit entry to everyone, with which exception?
The general public.
Correct. Found in Los Angeles, California, what is spelled out in 45-foot high lettering?
No dogs allowed.
Correct.
Where is somewhere people go in order to prostitute themselves?
Hollywood.
Correct. Name something you might come across in a game of Monopoly.
A brothel.
Correct.
Cristiano Ronaldo uses... Cristiano Ronaldo uses fancy footwork in an attempt to get round what?
Income tax.
Correct. And at the end of that round, Jack, you've scored 10 points.
Thank you very much.
I'm a worried man this morning, Ben.
Why?
The human race could be a step nearer extinction today. This afternoon, the scientists behind the terrifying doomsday clock are set to make an announcement. They could move us even closer to midnight.
Oh,
the
no.
time of a catastrophic event that will destroy the human race. It was only last year they moved us to 2 minutes to midnight.
So we're at least moving to 1 minute.
It could well be. The clock is ticking on the human race. It's all because of the amount of countries that are now beginning to stockpile their nuclear weapons.
Oh no.
Weather around the world is proving to be more catastrophic and more turbulent than ever before. And the scientists are worried.
Is there anything we can do?
It may be too late, Ben. The only thing we can do is appeal to the powers that be around the world. Every single world leader. Donald Trump, I'm talking to you.
Wow.
Kim Jong-il and Un and all the Kims, talking to you. Mrs. May, talking to you. Stop it. Put those nuclear buttons down.
Behave yourself.
Behave yourself. Otherwise, doomsday could be upon us. We find out at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
The Full Fix Breakfast with Trev and Ben. Fix Radio.
I've just seen the most amazing thing.
Have you?
Women in China.
Yeah.
Over the age of 30 are going to be given 8 days off a year to go dating.
Really?
Yes.
Can I get that?
When you're married... You're a married man.
Management don't have to know that.
I'm 41 and single.
I can take my wife on a date. What's wrong with that?
I don't think this is the intention. I think it's the intention for those who are single, lonely,
well,
and spend their evenings crying into a pillow.
That's singlist.
I'm just talking about my life now. to come out and find her. I think it's a great idea. If I go to the boss today and say to him, look, you know, I know they're rolling this out in China and it's for women, but I tell you what, Fix Radio could make some sort of statement here. It could change the future of the way people are treated in this country. And Fix Radio could be the pioneering company that does it. They say, Trev, I'll tell you what, you have 8 days off and you just go dating.
But this is the same problem that a lot of office workers have with smokers. Smokers get regular fag breaks.
Yes.
And the healthy people don't.
I know.
And that's not fair.
It's not fair. I mean, you pop out and have a cigarette every now and again.
Yeah.
And I think, well, you know, I could come out with you and spend that time talking to you, but then I'll be passively smoking and cold. Are you saying that if I was given 8 days off by Fix Radio to go dating,
yeah,
that you would have a problem with that because you're a married man?
Well, if you're going to get 8 days just for being single, then I'm definitely going to consider divorce.
The best of Trev and Ben on Fix Radio.
I don't know about you, but I find that because the early mornings and long days, and if you're a tradesperson, you're going to know this, early mornings, you're busy, family stuff, and I'm just constantly in a daze.
Yeah, I
don't
really
know what day it is, what time it is. So I'm trying to arrange a meetup with a mate of mine.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm a very busy man. I've got lots on. So it's always like weeks down the line. So I sent him a message the other day. It's like, okay, yeah, we definitely need a meetup. How about a Friday in February? And the first free Friday I had is the 22nd.
Okay.
Okay. And I knew the following Friday I was free as well. So I just went, okay, what about the 22nd? Add 7 onto that, 29th. So what about 22nd or 29th February? I then get a message back from him that says, February the 29th is particularly difficult for me. Can you guess why?
I can.
okay, well, I'm glad you... Because at this point, I'm still none the wiser. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, okay, well, he's being a bit cryptic here. I don't know what it is.
Or are you being a bit stupid?
Well, I haven't twigged that it's not a leap year yet. So I've now gone into... Because I've seen February the 29th, in my head, I've sort of thought, well, I must have put that because it's a leap year. Mm. So I'm now thinking, well, the only thing I know about February the 29th is that's the day a woman can propose to a man.
Ah.
Now, as far as I know, my friend isn't in a relationship at the moment, or if he is, it certainly isn't that long-lived, because the last time I saw him, I don't think he was.
So you went to this before you thought, maybe I've made a mistake with the calendar.
So my response to him was, I'm assuming a woman's proposing to you.
Oh, God, Trev.
I can't do the 22nd now. Things have changed, right?
That's quick.
And then he comes back and he says, March the 1st is fine. I'm thinking, I'll have to think about that. I don't know about March the 1st.
It's the same day.
It then suddenly dawned on me. We've gone through 4 or 5 texts over 4 or 5 days without me realising that there's not a February the 29th.
Well, credit to your mate. He kept that going for 5 days.
And now what I keep going is, 30 days hath September, April...
Trev and Ben's Early Pub Quiz.
Right, Thursday's edition of the pub quiz, the Early Pub Quiz, which means one thing. It's the day before Double Bubble Friday, which is when the points are worth twice as many. If you've been lagging behind, that is your chance to catch up, because the points are worth double. Trev is the quiz master this week. I am the quizzy. I'm doing respectably.
10 points so far.
Not too bad at all. Not as good as you last week, but moving on. What are the questions?
Right, your easy question for 1 point. How you doing? Was a catchphrase of which character in Friends?
Okay.
How you doing? Was a catchphrase of which character in Friends? I'm not doing an impression.
I was going to say, I don't remember him being quite so gruff.
I'm not doing an impression.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Is it Al Pacino?
How you doing? do you want to go get some coffee?
How you doing?
Let's go get some coffee.
Yeah, I think I know.
How you doing?
I think I know who that
how
is.
How you doing? Give me some lasagna. How you doing?
How you doing? Was a catchphrase of which character in Friends?
Could that be any more Italians?
Very good.
Different character. Right, that's your easy question for 1 point. Your medium question for 2 points. Little bit of jeopardy.
Okay.
But I think I've taken all the swearing out.
Ooh.
I think I've taken all the swearing out. Have a listen to this. If I haven't, we're in trouble. Which is the actor having a meltdown on set? Who is this actor having a meltdown?
I want you off the set, you prick. Now, don't just be sorry. Think for one second. What the are you doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
It's Al Pacino again.
Who is that actor having a meltdown on set? Do you want to hear it one more time?
He sounded British. Yeah, I would like to hear it again.
I want you off the set, you prick. Now, don't just be sorry. Think for one second. What the are you doing?
Who's that actor having a meltdown on set?
His accent wanders. He starts off British and becomes American at the end.
There you go.
It's a medium question for 2 points.
Don't know.
And finally, a hard question for 3 points. In Danish cars, what is a fart pilot? In Danish cars, what is a fart pilot?
I think, funnily enough, I think I know the answer.
Wow.
I think I do.
All right. Well, that is your hard question for 3 points.
I'm fairly confident with the last one, but I would like some help with the middle one and some reassurance on the hard one.
Okay.
So please help Team Ben.
0-3-2-0-3-80-3-500.
When are you going to stop this?
I'm not. 81-400 on the text. Start your message with the word fix or tweet us. We're at Fix Radio UK. More importantly, though, if you're taking on your mates on site, making out your answers, maybe you're on your own heading towards a magic 36. We get to the answers in about half hour.
The Full Fix Breakfast with Trev and Ben, Fix Radio.
I don't know if you know this, but at 3 o'clock this afternoon, a big announcement is going to be made about the doomsday clock. We could be heading towards the extinction of the human race.
Oh, another one.
So we're asking today, if it was your last 24 hours on Earth, Andy, what would you do with it?
I would be a physio for the Swedish netball team.
Right, that's an interesting one, because the Swedish netball team will still be training, wanting physio, with 24 hours to go. Going, oh, do you know, I've got a bit of cramp, Andy, but it's all right, because I'll be obliterated in 24 hours, but I do need this cramp somewhere.
Why would you assume the Swedish netball team are turning up for practice that day?
I'm hoping.
Just a dreamer.
Here's a question. Ben was saying earlier that if it was him, he would give you a bell and get you to come round and build some sort of shelter, like you'd be working.
I did say, though, but hang on, you haven't told him all the information.
All right.
I did say, you come round to mine, you build me the perfect sort of end-of-the-world bomb shelter, and there's a seat in there for you, mate. You're welcome in to my bomb shelter. You help me build it.
Who else is in there?
You build it.
Just you and Mrs. Ben.
Yeah, and you?
Where am I in all this?
Well, hang on, that's Andy's perfect
threesome.
Hang on a
minute, I wasn't even allowed in Andy's threesome. Why are you allowed in my bomb shelter?
Well, I know, I've already told you it doesn't matter because there's no surviving this. It's done. It's sorted. You can build whatever you like. It's over.
Are you busy?
Well, I'm intrigued by the offer. Ben, Mrs.
I've
Ben,
told
and
you,
me.
It's over. There's no point in listening to the offer. You're done. You're finished. You're dust, mate. It's over. Accept
apart from
it.
Ben, Mrs. Ben and me in our little cabin.
No, there's no surviving. How many times?
It's a special cabin.
Say it. It's the doomsday clock, mate. It's not some film we're watching. It's not Preppers in America. It's doomsday.
He gets very upset when you don't take his question seriously.
Or invite him into our cabin.
No, he's not coming in.
I don't want to be there.
The best of Trev and Ben on Fix Radio. Trev and Ben's Early Pub Quiz.
Right, let's wrap up your last chance for some normal points in the Early Pub Quiz, and it's Double Bubble Friday tomorrow. Do not miss it. Trev is the quiz master today. Three questions as always, easy, medium and hard for 1, 2 and 3 points. I'm quietly confident.
Yeah, you've had some nice help in.
What are the questions?
All right, your easy question for 1 point.
How you doing? How you doing? It was more like, how you doing?
But closer, how still you, not quite there, but
how
yeah.
How you doing?
Okay.
How you doing? Hey, it was a catchphrase of which character in Friends?
It was Joey, and thank you to Jeff and to Cammy the decorator, who both agree with me, it is Joey.
Joey is the right answer. For 2 points, your medium question, this is your audio question. Have a listen to this actor having a meltdown on set. Who is he?
I want you off the set, you prick! Don't just be sorry, think for one second. What the are you doing?
What are you doing?
It's a bit stroppy, isn't he?
What are you doing?
He's a well-known actor. He's having a bit of a meltdown.
Was that the other day when I was having a meltdown at my help on the pub quiz? Is it me?
That was, yeah. I mean, you weren't far off that.
Okay, Jeff, Big Jeff, no idea, I'm afraid, but Cammy the decorator has come to my rescue, suggesting it's Christian Bale.
And Christian
I've got
Bale.
No reason to doubt Cammy, so I'm going with it.
Christian Bale is the right answer.
Well done, Cammy.
Another 2 points in the bag. And for Full House, your hard question for 3 points. In Danish cars, what is a fart pilot?
Right, well, I've had Big Jeff again and Cammy both having guesses because I think they're both wrong, actually. I don't want to criticise at all, but I think I have some prior knowledge on this one.
Yeah, no, you were saying to me about QI.
Yeah, Big Jeff reckons this is going to be possibly measuring exhaust fumes. I think that's wrong. Cammy thinks it's a speed pilot or cruise control. But I have this memory of watching an episode of QI hosted by Sandy Toksvig, who is Danish.
She is Danish, yes.
And I think she revealed that a fart plan was some sort of map.
A fart plan? That sounds like something you set up after a big night out.
So if a fart plan is a map,
yeah,
then a fart pilot will pilots navigate. It's got to be a sat-nav.
Sat-nav.
That's what I'm going with.
Fart pilot, sat-nav. Is that what you're going with?
That's what I'm going with.
It's the wrong answer.
No
it's
way.
Cammy the decorator.
No.
If only you'd listen to Cammy the decorator. You should learn from the fact he's got 1 and 2 right. Cammy the decorator gets a full house. It is cruise control. That is what your fart pilot is, my friend.
You just wait till I get my hands on Sandy Toksvig.
Gives you 3 points as we head into Double Bubble Friday. We do it tomorrow on Brew and Banter.
The Full Fix Breakfast with Trev and Ben. Fix Radio.